Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 this morning, as you stand to your feet. It again is a joy to be here. And I know, listen, if anybody understands some things, I understand that we're living in unusual times. But we're to keep on serving the Lord no matter what. Amen. We're to keep on serving God. And I want to do that. I want to be found faithful in serving Him. But in Philippians chapter 3, the book of rejoicing, or a book of joy that the Apostle Paul deals with the church at Philippi. And we're going to begin to read in chapter 3, and begin to read in verse 1. If you happen to be here, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's good this morning. I am happy to be in the Lord's house this morning. And it is a joy to be here. But let's look in chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." Well, now we ought to do that, shouldn't we? He didn't say when you feel good, rejoice in the Lord. And He didn't say when everything's going your way, rejoice in the Lord. He said, "Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord." We've got every reason as God's people to rejoice this morning. Amen? And we ought to be a happy people. "To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." Now I'm going to deal with these verses here in a minute, but I'm going to tell you, if you want to know Him, we want to know Him in the power of His resurrection, but if you really want to know Christ, then you're going to have to know Him in the fellowship of His suffering also. Now, I'm going to deal with that. "If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had attained already, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You and we thank You. Lord, we pray that the songs that have been sung, Lord, have uplifted You and brought glory and honor to Your name. But Lord, it's preaching time now. And listen, Lord, I know that these folk have come to be preached to. And Lord, not preached at. But Lord, to be preached to learn something and to gain something from You this morning. And Lord, I just pray as we delve into the Scripture this morning that You would touch us and anoint us afresh, that You'd give us all and add an understanding of the Word of God, but You would give me an unction from the Holy One while we might preach. And Lord, I just pray that You would touch this morning. Save somebody. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody in this house that's lost, that they would trust You. Those that under the sound of our listening as this video goes out and the radio broadcast goes out, that Lord, that those that listen and see and hear, that Lord, that they would trust You to be their Savior and that they would find encouragement in these last days. And Lord, we want to tell You again that we love You. Save that sinner's nearest tale for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we look in Philippians chapter 3, as the Apostle Paul is, first of all, he encourages us in that to rejoice in the Lord. And I dealt with that when I read the scripture, and we should rejoice in the Lord. The Bible tells us in the book of Nehemiah that it is the joy of the Lord that is our strength. And so we find that if we're weak this morning, and that spiritually, then we need to look at our joy. Amen. And that in Christ. And let me tell you this, that not every day that I live do I have great joy, but I'm always reminded of what Christ done for me in the very fact that not only did he go to Calvary to die for me, but he come to me one Sunday night and dealt with my heart and that about salvation, and I got saved. And that is a wonderful thing to know this morning, is that you're saved. If you go over to the book, is it 2 Corinthians? The Apostle Paul says over there, he said, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Listen, you can know that you're saved this morning. Little John, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, he said that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, I'm glad that I got that thing settled. Amen. I believe there's a multitude of people, especially running around here, that don't know. They are unsure of their salvation. And I want to encourage you to know that you're saved. Why is that, preacher? One, we're all living out of here by death. Listen, it could come at any moment. I mean, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. We understand that. But do you realize that Christ Jesus the Lord, I believe that he is soon on his way and out to get the church, and I'm glad to be part of the church and leaving out of here when the last trump sounds. Amen. Don't know how we got there, but ain't it all good? But then the Apostle Paul, he talks about, in verses 2 and 3, he talks about the circumcision, the Jews. He talks about the Judaizers right there. Those that were trying to draw the church and that back under the law, the covenant, and that of Moses. I'm glad that the book of Galatians tells us over there, listen, that when Christ died, he took the law and nailed it to the cross. Amen. He answered the law and finished the law. Thank God that we are saved and that by grace. And we do not have that to depend upon our flesh. Anything that we can do to be saved will not work, that it's all through Christ. And we see that in these verses. And the Apostle Paul comes on down through here, and he says, if these people that are talking to you can boast in their flesh and talk about what they have in the flesh and what they've done through the law, he said, then me more. He said, look, he gives us a resume of what he was and who he was. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew, the Hebrews, is touching law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal. He said, I persecuted the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul said, I've done everything the law said to do. He said, I persecuted the church. He said, look, I had the right lineage that was needed. And he said, I was a Pharisee. And Paul said, I can tell you everything that I was in the Jews' law. But he comes down in that in verse 7. But what things were gained to me? He said, I looked at those things and were prideful in those things and had them. He said, but he said what? In verse 7, those I counted loss for Christ. He said, to have Christ and to know Christ and to have a relationship with Christ, I had to lose those things. And that's what I want to preach on this morning, is simply our relationship in Christ. Our relationship with Christ. You know, when you get saved, when you got saved, you started a relationship. Now, just because you're saved does not mean you have a good relationship with the Lord Jesus. You can have good relationships and bad relationships. You know, the word relationship simply just means the state of being related by kindred or affinity, which means marriage. In other words, I'm related to Bobby and Linda by marriage. I mean, that's my wife's mom and dad. And when I looked at that, the only word that I even knew close to that, to the word affinity, was infinity, to infinity and beyond. Is that not what Buzz Lightyear said? I believe it was. And so I had to look that up, because it took me a minute or two. I looked at that and I thought, is that what he was talking about over there? So I had to go look. I had to see. But he was talking about marriage. Or he said, or other alliances, or the state of being connected. Now, I'm connected to Christ. My relationship to Christ is by him and through salvation.
But what kind of relationship do I have? What kind of relationship do you have with Christ Jesus the Lord this morning? I think He wants us and that to have a close relationship. I think He wants us to have a good relationship with Christ. And I'm going to be honest with you, if you ever needed a good relationship with the Lord Jesus, it's this time right now. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, things is tough. Things is different. Things is upside down. The world is telling us that we don't need to meet. And I'm hoping all that's going to go away. Listen, they're saying that we can have church all online. And I'm appreciative to be able to do everything that we're doing. But the church was made and that to meet. We're made to meet and fellowship one with another. But we're made to meet and that with Christ. Now let me say this morning that you can have a close relationship with the Lord. James chapter 4 says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Now let me ask you, that word nigh means close. How close are you to the Lord this morning? How close is your relationship? How close are you? You know, as husband and wives this morning and having relationships with friends, listen, you know what a closeness means. I think most of us understand that this morning. As I looked up the word relationship, the true meaning of relationship, I come to this when talking about having a relationship, and this mainly will primarily apply to a husband and wife, what I'm about to say, but to provide support and love to that person through anything and everything. To love hard with everything you've got. Now, I think sometimes the Lord has to love hard to love us. You understand what I'm saying? I know He loves me. I know that. I understand it. But boy, sometimes we make it hard on Him, don't we? Can I ask you this morning, moms and dads, don't your children make it hard on y'all sometimes? I'm glad. Listen, I'm glad my mother loves me. I think sometimes she just loved me because she had to love me. Amen. It was required that she loved me. And that's just how it was. And I mean, as being a boy, at times, I was all boy and wide open as hard as I could be. And was hard to deal with. Let me ask you this morning, how many times are we hard to deal with the Lord? How many times do we get stubborn and selfish? And I'm getting ahead of my message this morning. And I'm not wanting to beat up on us. And I'm not going to beat up on us. But if the Holy Spirit deals with your heart this morning, I hope that you'll do something about it. I think our relationship ought to be very close to the Lord. If you're saved, I think we ought to have a close relationship. One like Adam had in the garden before sin got interrupted things. As he walked, I honestly believe that was not the first time that the voice of the Lord ever come walking in the cool of the evening. I really believe that that is something that Adam had day in and day out, that he had a relationship with the Heavenly Father, and sin come and interrupted that. Well, three things right here that I want to notice that the Apostle Paul tells us right here in his relationship. Now, as he talks about this, he is talking to saved people, and he's writing to saved people, but he's writing to saved people that are trying to be drawn away, if you would, and that by Judaizers. And he is reminding them what their justification comes from, that it comes from Christ. He talks about more than once. He talks about Christ. He said, those I counted lost for Christ. He said, I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. He talks about in verse 9, being found in Him, in His righteousness that is of God by faith. And then in verse 10, he said that I may know Him. And this morning, I believe as we look at this, that I may know Him, that the Apostle Paul is talking more than just about in salvation. Listen, he's talking to saved people, right to saved people. Let me encourage this this morning, that if you're lost and unsaved, I encourage you to get saved today. Today's your day to come and trust Christ. But he's writing to saved people, and he's talking about being saved, and he says that I may know Him. Number one this morning, and I have a good relationship and that with the Heavenly Father, I believe our focus must be on Him. Amen. Do you know, to have a good marriage, let me say this, in a good relationship in a marriage, and it don't always happen every day, but I believe we have to focus on one another. I believe that I need to focus on my wife needs to focus on me. Listen, the Apostle Paul, he realized that it was not about him, but that it was about Christ. Look in verses 8 and 9. He said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Listen, he knew that it was about him. He knew he was the reason that he was saved. In verse 9, he said, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Then in verse 10, that I may know him. But if you look in verse 8, the Apostle Paul said, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Listen, do you realize that if you're going to be able to focus and make him the focus of your life and the focus of your home, then you've got to put some things away. You've got to lose it. You realize when I got married to my wife, and I'm going to be very careful what I said right here, that if there was any other girl that I had ever dated or had ever seen or had interest in, they were gone. Why? I married her. She's the one that I want to have a relationship with. I went back and I looked what I made you and Miss Bethany say the day that you all got married. And I believe you had to say the same thing that me and my wife had to say, which was leaving all others and cleave only to her. Do you realize it's the same thing? When we got saved, we leave everything that we could lean on and look to and just have as an ability to say that we've done it ourselves. And the Apostle Paul said, I have just let every... I've suffered loss of all things that I may know him. He said, I've put everything else away and my focus is on him. How may I please him? How may I serve him? How may I know him? He said, I have put everything else away. Do you realize that, friend, if we're going to have a relationship with the Heavenly Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we've just got to put everything else away? We've got to put our selfishness and our pridefulness and that away. Amen. Now, you may not have a problem with that this morning, but there's some people that do. There's some people that struggle with that, that they've done something, that they've done something in Christ. Listen, I've not done anything in Christ except got saved, be placed in him, and trying to follow him the way that he wants me to. Listen, he said, I have left it all behind. Do you know there's a lot of people just still trying to live in the world and live for Christ? A lot of the worldly things is still an attraction. It's one thing to be attracted to worldly things, and it's another to be headed that way. I forget that old Nazarene preacher. They took him through New York. And this was years ago. They took him through New York. And they showed him everything that New York had to offer. And they said when he got back to his hotel room that he got down on his knees and he said, Lord, I thank you that I didn't see a thing in this city that I wanted today. How many of us could say that? You know, that's all the Lord wants out of us. He wants our focus on him. You said my life, every waking moment I got to talk about him. And he understands we got to live a life and all those things. But it always needs to be in the foreground of our mind that everything that we're to do is to be about him. You know, can we do things in the world and it still be about him? I think there's a few things that we might be able to do. I think if me and my wife, I always use this as an example. If we want to go play putt-putt, it can still be about him, as long as she ain't cheating. Amen. You know, I'm just having a little fun, okay? Listen, but when we get wrapped up in that stuff, when we get wrapped up in worldly stuff, and listen, we give God a token of our time to come to church on Sunday, you know, just a little bit here and a little bit there. We give him a little token of our money and think that we're really doing something. Listen, our focus needs to be about him this morning. Can I ask you, what hinders you from having a focus on him?
What hinders you from... You know that I lose focus of Him from time to time. And some of it is my fault. And sometimes it's life just tends to get in the way sometimes. And all of a sudden my focus is no longer on Him. And more shame on me when it gets like that. He needs to be our focus. And listen, we need to get our pride and our selfishness out of the way. But you know, as to have a good relationship and to make Him our focus, listen, not only do we have to put other things away, worldly things and sinful things, and separate ourselves and that out of the world. You know that no man can serve two masters. Don't Matthew tell us that? No man can serve two masters. He'll either love one and hate the other, cleave to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You know, our relationship, you know, there can be nobody more important to me on this earth than my wife. She is to have my undivided attention. And you know, in our spiritual life, that's how to be with Christ. Paul said as he's talking to the church and they're being dragged down, they're being dragged into their fleshly works and they're into the law. And he says, look, it's not about you, but it's about Him. Our relationship with Him. Our focus is to be on Him. Listen, you know, as a relationship matures and a relationship grows, the Apostle Paul says, I want to know Him. He said that I may know Him. Now he talks about in the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, and being made conformable unto His death, and by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And I'll deal with Him here in a minute. But listen, how do we know Him? How do you get to know somebody? Well, you got to spend time with them, don't you? Right? Me and my wife, they used to make fun of us when we were dating because we spent just about every waking minute that we could together. And even after we got married, if I wanted to leave, she'd say, where are you going? Now she says, can't you go somewhere? Figured she'd say amen right there. But listen, I'm just having a little fun at my wife's expense. But you learn each other by spending time together. We learn each other. We learn about God. We learn about Christ and what He wants out of our life. And that, first of all, by reading this book. We learned that in Sunday school this morning. I mean, as Nehemiah and Ezra had come back, and Ezra was restoring and rebuilding the temple, and Nehemiah is rebuilding the wall, and they're setting the law in order at that point. You've got a group of people over here that some have come up out of captivity and come back to Judah and they do not know the law. They had to be taught the law. They had to understand the law and that how to please God. You know how I have grown and matured and hopefully I've grown and matured over these years since I got saved? Out of this book. That's it. Out of this book. Whether it was preached to me or taught to me or whether I read it, it was out of this book. Now let me ask you, how much time do you spend in the book? I'm being honest. You say, well, I ain't a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher. But you just pick your Bible up and begin to read it. Say, Lord, I sure do want to please. Let me stop right here. I didn't even think about this while I was studying. But you know, there ought to be something in your heart that wants to please Him. There should be something there that makes you want to please the Lord. There should be something there that makes you want to get to know Him more. Now, I always know the devil's going to come in and hinder that time. But you know what? We need to spend time with Him in reading. Reading and studying. Because it's out of this book that we learn what He wants out of our life. That's why a lot of people, I won't even use the word, that's why some people have not matured and grown. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. I'll give you what I can on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Sunday school teacher will give you what they can, but it's up to you. I mean, after you get a little on you, you know, after you quit being a baby and you grow up some, listen, it didn't take me long to figure out where Mama kept the little Debbies at. And I've been short all my life. But did you know she kept them up in the corner cabinet, and I could run in there and take a running shot, and I would jump backwards and push up off the counters because it's right in the corner. And I put both hands up there and push up. And I could slide right up on the counter and reach right up there and open the cupboard and get a little Debbie out of there. What I'm saying is I learned how to feed myself. I didn't have to wait on mama to go get me a little Debbie down. Even though I was short, I figured out how to get it done. You know, after we get a little growth on us from learning the Word of God, whether we're preached to or it's taught to us, then it is up to us and that to begin to feed ourselves from the Word of God. We begin to grow and to mature. We begin to meditate upon the Word of God. I was up early this morning and that meditating on what to preach tonight. And then it gets a little scary. I get to thinking, well, should I preach that this morning? I always get a little nervous about those things. How much time do we spend together? How much time do we spend in serving Him? The Apostle Paul loved the Lord so much that in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he told him over there. Now here's what Paul said, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Paul said, I'll spend and I'll be spent for you. And then here's what he said, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Now that's how much he loved the Lord. He said, I'll spend and I'll be spent for you, even though the more I spend for you, the more I show you that I love you, the less you love me. See, he wasn't doing it for the church at Corinth. He was doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. His relationship with the Lord was in a place that he wanted, and that to focus on Him and to grow in Him. And he said, look, I'm willing to do whatever the Lord wants out of me. How about you this morning? Are we willing to spend and be spent for the Lord? Now I'm preaching on our focus is on Him. When we focus on something that has our direct attention. Does He have our direct attention this morning? You know, when we focus on Him and we sell out to Him, you know, all of a sudden He exalts us, don't He? He turns things around for us. What do you mean? Well, we don't lift ourselves up, but He lifts us up, don't He? I mean, the Bible said over there in the book of James that He giveth more grace. Wherefore, He said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So as long as we remain humble and we remain that servant that we need to be and focused on Him, you come to Luke chapter 14. He said, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. It's amazing what God can do with us and through us when He is the focus of our life. It's a lifetime you just focused on Him. Our focus needs to be on Him, but then we need to fashion ourselves like Him. We fashion ourselves to be like Him. We keep waiting. I'll never forget, I was getting ready one Sunday morning. I hadn't been pastoring here long, and I can't remember how long it was. And my pastor called me early that morning, and let me find this scripture. And he always had a way. I love my pastor, but I said, well, I'm just praying that I can get right with the Lord before I get ready to preach. He said, son, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 7, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. You know, that puts it in our ballpark, don't it? The Lord is always willing to forgive us. The Lord is always willing to cleanse us and get us right if we're just willing to do it. Amen. It puts it in our ballpark. If you want to live separated, you can live separated. You know, we pray, Lord, help me live separated. And what we expect is God to really do something to just build a wall between us and the world. No, we build the wall between us and the world. We make the decision that we're going to live separated. We make the decision that we're not going to go to these places or watch this on TV or have this kind of language or dress like this. Anyway, all these things. But he says right here that I may know Him. And then he talks about how to know Him. And this can run really deep. I'll be honest with you. This verse can run really deep. I'm not sure that I can do it justice this morning. But Paul said, I want to fashion myself, if I could say that, to be like Him. He said that I may know Him. And then here's what he said, how he would know Him. First of all, is in the power of His resurrection. And well, that's how we want to know Him, ain't it, a lot of times. Well, what it means to be alive.
What it means in that to just to have the power of His resurrection, the Spirit living on the inside of us, and to know and that the power of God to be saved and to have an abundant life in Christ. We like that part, don't we? What was it he said in John 10? Thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And let me say that Christ Jesus wants us to have an abundant life this morning. He said that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. To have died and that to save and to be resurrected. To know what it means to have died out to sin. And He even deals with that a little more on down in the verse right here. He says, I want to know, I want to fashion myself. I want to be like Him. Let me ask you this morning before I go on any further. And if I ask you, do you want to be like Christ? I think every one of us would say, oh yes, I want to be like Him. But how many of us would be willing to do what it takes to get there? The Apostle Paul said, I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection. I want to know what it means to have died out in the old man and be resurrected in the new. Now we know that in salvation, if you're saved today, you know what it means for your old man to have died and your new man to have resurrected. You know that there's somebody new living on the inside. But he talks about the power of that resurrection. That power of that resurrection changed Christ. You know, I believe it even changed the way that he looked. I mean, they'd beat him to death over there at Calvary. They'd beat him to death in the hall called Praetorium. And listen, when he come up, he sure didn't look the same that he did going in, did he, friend? Even when he stood over there on the seashore and said, children, dost thou have any meat? And Peter knew it was the Lord. They wouldn't say nothing, but they knew that it was the Lord. Listen, he said that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. We like to know Him in the power of His resurrection. We like to know Him. I mean, listen, what it means to die out and to be resurrected. And I mean have the power of God and that residing on our life. I like to have the power of God on my life. I like to have the power of God when I stand up to preach. To know that the message come from Him, and I would stand here and even sometimes, and very few times have I ever stood behind this pulpit and not had good liberty. Very few times. Now there's been many times I've stood in other people's pulpits and not had good liberty. But very few times have I stood here. But to know that the message got delivered, even when there was not good liberty, still in the power of Christ. But I want you to look what Paul said. And the fellowship of his suffering. Now that changes the whole ballgame right there. I don't know any other way to read that right there except Paul said, I want to know Him. I want to be found in Him. I want to focus on Him. But I want to fashion myself after Him. And he said, not only in the power of His resurrection to have died out in the old man and to be resurrected into the new and have a newness of life and that I walk in newness of life, but now he said, in the fellowship of His suffering. I don't know anybody that wakes up in the morning and looks up to the heavens and says, Lord, I want to know You and the power of Your resurrection, but I also want to suffer because I know You suffered. That's what Paul's actually saying. He said, Lord, I know You suffered, and for me to get to know You, I know that I'm going to have to suffer. Now we know that suffering's going to come, don't we? Man who's born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. We know suffering's going to come. And you know, not all suffering. We'll see tonight that some suffering comes because of sin. And you know, Christ did suffer because of sin. It just wasn't His sin that He suffered for. The Bible said in the book of Isaiah that He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Why was that? Because of our sin. But let me ask you something. The Apostle Paul, is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about all the revelations that he had. And he said, and except I should be exalted above measure, he said there was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. And it was a thorn in him. And he said it buffeted him. And you know what that word buffet means? It means to strike on. When you buffet something or somebody, you're hitting on it. And he said, a messenger of Satan, come to buffet me. Come to beat on me. And he said, I sought the Lord thrice that this might be taken away from me. And he said, 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said, and the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for me, for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ, there it is again, may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when am I weak? For when I am weak, then am I strong. The Apostle Paul understood suffering. You remember what he told Ananias over there when he told him to go down and see Saul of Tarsus? You remember what he told him? He said, I'll show him what he said, I'll, for what things he must suffer for me. We want to live in the power of his resurrection, but nobody wants to suffer. We don't want to suffer physically. If you want to get to know Christ, you're going to have to suffer physically. I believe that with all my heart. We're going to have to suffer emotionally. I think we'll have to suffer mentally. I think we suffer spiritually sometimes. Not that Christ wants us and that to be down and those things, but I'm going to be honest with you. For us to realize, let me put it to you this way, and I've said it many times. If all we ever lived on was the mountaintop and everything went right and everything went good, friend, we would never understand the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We would never understand what the Apostle Paul was saying. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. To fashion ourselves after him in suffering. I never remember a day when I woke up and went outside, and no joke, and looked up into the heavens and said, Lord, I want to suffer like you suffered. I've never done that. But I'm going to be honest with you, if we're going to get to know him, then we're going to have to get to know him in suffering. 1 Peter 5, he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Why do we think that it's an unusual thing when as a Christian we have to suffer? We'll never get to know him until we suffer. Never get to know him until we struggle. We want everything perfect, and we think that when things are not perfect, that he don't love us, or that we must be out of the will of God. You better be careful how you judge people about their suffering. Because chances are, if they're living for the Lord and they're suffering, they're probably closer to him than you are. He said, I want to suffer. Romans 8, he said, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs of Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Suffer. Paul said that I may know him in the fellowship of his suffering. Ain't that an exciting thought? You being facetious, preacher? Yeah, just a little bit. It sure ain't exciting to me, I'll be honest. The thing that to get to know him, I'm going to have to suffer. But I want to ask you a question. You know, it's one thing to know somebody that's going through cancer. But it's a whole different ballgame when you get it. And you got to go make them trips and have chemotherapy. And you make them trips and got to go have radiation. And you lay awake at night wondering if you're going to live to see the morning. Not saying that you know how this other person feels, but I guarantee you that you're a little closer to them than you were before you got sick. I'm just saying, in the fellowship of his suffering, we begin to fashion ourselves after him. Then the Apostle Paul even says, being made conformable unto his death. What was his death?
his death, and that was for sin. Listen, the death at Calvary was because of sin. Have we been made conformable to his death? Have we died out, and that for sin? Have we died out to sin? I mean, he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul ain't talking about getting saved right here. He's already saved. I believe we could apply it to that. But listen, he said, being made conformable unto his death. He said, I not only want to be in the fellowship of his suffering, but I want to die with Christ. I want to die in Christ. Let me put it to you like this right here. Galatians 5, Paul said, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. They all knew what crucifixion was. I mean, Rome was in the wholesale business of crucifying people. They knew what it was. Listen, when the Lord had not been to Calvary yet, but in Luke chapter 9 over there, when he told his disciples, if any man will come after me, he said, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He hadn't been crucified yet, but they knew what he was talking about, because they knew what that cross meant. They knew that, listen, they knew that it meant dying. They may not have understood what he was talking about. They didn't know what the cross meant. Listen, in Galatians 6, he went on to say, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Paul said, I am dead to the things of the world. I have died in Christ. I have crucified my flesh. I listen, that I might be made alive and a different creature in Christ Jesus the Lord. There is a lot of things in this book that I struggle to understand. And I struggle, man, so I'm like Jacob. Man, that clock just runs away with you. I don't understand how you get saved. I understand all that, but I still don't understand grace. I mean, you want to look at something deep, go look at mercy and grace, and we'll still be talking about it when Jesus comes, if we started right now. But when I get saved, I become a new creature, but yet the old man is still there. And it's our job to fashion ourselves under Christ and kill out that old man, to crucify him, to know him in the power of his resurrection, to be made conformable to his death, that we can attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what he's talking about. He said, I've crucified my flesh and Christ lives in me. Now I'm talking about our relationship. If you want to have a relationship with him, you've got to get to know him. And we get to know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and being made conformable in his death and being raised again. Number three and last of all. Paul talks about after this. He said, forward, I'll pursue. He says, I'll go forward. We find right here, I want to go forward in my relationship with Christ. What does he talk about right down here? He talks about apprehending. He talks about pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I've not arrived. He says, I've been apprehended in that by Christ, but I've not apprehended everything. Apprehend simply means to take hold of and seize, or to have an understanding about. He says, I am reaching forth that I can apprehend. I'm reaching forth that I can get to where I need to be in my relationship and that with Christ. I'm pressing toward that goal. I'm pressing toward what he wants me to be and where he wants me to be, that I can reach out and grab it. He said, I want to apprehend. You know, to press means to urge with force. You know, sometimes to do what Christ wants you to do, you got to press forward to do it. That means you got to make an effort to do it. Some of y'all made an effort to come this morning. Had to press. Had to press through some things. Had to get through some things. But notice what he said. He said, I not only press, he said, but there's a prize. You know, there's a prize. You know, we talk about suffering, and we talk about being made conformable unto his death. But you know that there's a prize out there that we're going to get one day if we keep on reaching forward. To be made like him and to be like him.
there's a prize out there. Now, if you're saved, you're going to get heaven. I'm going to get heaven, no matter what, because I'm saved. But there's a prize out there somewhere. And I don't understand that. You know, I always like the prize. You can ask my wife, and I've told y'all this many times. I'm going to play to win. That's just how it is. Because I like whatever's on the winning side. I like to win. Even if it's just bragging rights, I like to win. Like to win. You know, as we go forward, I want to win and get that prize. I want to be made conformable to Him. And we do that by pleasing Him. Take your Bible and look in Scripture as I close. And go to the book of 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy and I'm going to close. All right, church? 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. I'm talking about our relationship with Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, we're not enduring to the end. Matthew chapter 24 talks about he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. That's talking about the great tribulation period, dealing with the nation of Israel at that time. That's what that's talking about. But you know that it does take endurance for the child of God to keep going. I'm not enduring for my salvation, but I'm enduring in my service and in my sanctification. I'm enduring in that. And because things are going to get hard. There will be suffering. There will be times of persecution. There will be times my flesh. Your flesh ever rear up on you? I'm serious. Does your flesh ever rear up on you? Surely mine ain't the only one that does that. Makes you think things that you wish you wouldn't think and want to go do some old things that you put away a long time ago. Rires up, don't it? He said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. He said, we endure hardness. As a good soldier, we warreth, but we don't entangleth ourselves in that with the affairs of this life, that we can please Him who hath called us. And then he says, as we strive for masteries, we need to do it lawfully, do it right. We need to serve Christ right, that we can win the prize. I want to please Him. I'm going to press forward. I'm going to press forward for the prize, but I'm going to do it so that I can please Him. How's your relationship? How's your relationship with Christ this morning? Is you focus on Him? Is you focus on Him? Are you fighting after Him? You know something I picked up on last night, sitting at my mom and dad's. As we were talking, having a conversation with my mom and dad and my sister, my wife used a word that I picked up from my dad. And she used it in conversation. Now, you know what happens? You spend enough time with people, you tend to pick up on the habits of each other. We spend time with Christ, we're going to tend to pick up some things about Him. We tend to fashion ourselves after Him. You see what I'm saying? And then I want to not only fashion myself after Him, but I want to go forward serving Him. Let's bow our heads this morning across the house. Jacob, it's just a little music back there this morning, son, if you don't care. Listen, how is your relationship? How close are you living to the Lord this morning? As you look into your life, are you fashioned after Him? Are you trying to serve Him this morning? I'm not asking us to be legalistic or pharisaical and say, look at the things that I've done. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm asking you from the inside of your heart, are you serving Christ like you should? Is He happy? You say, preacher, the Lord is happy. That's good. But if He's happy with you, if He's pointed some things out this morning, I pray that you